శ్రీగురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం గణానాం త్వా గణపతిగుం హవామహే కవిం కవీనాముపమశ్రవస్తమం జ్యేష్ఠరాజం బ్రహ్మణాం బ్రహ్మణస్పత ఆనశృణ్వన్నోతిభిః సీద సాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. ఆత్మస్వరూప బంధుగణం, సో నౌ వీ హ్యావ్ టు స్టడీ ద 18th వెర్స్. యు మే సే విత్ మీ, కర్మణ్యకర్మ యః పశ్యేత్ అకర్మణి చ కర్మయః సబుద్ధిమాన్ మనుష్యేషు సయుక్తః కృత్స్నకర్మకృత్. మనుష్యేషు బుద్ధిమాన్ యుక్తః, దీస్ ఆర్ టూ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ వర్డ్స్. సో దిస్ వెర్స్ ఈజ్ వన్ వే ఆఫ్ డిఫైనింగ్ ది వర్డ్ యుక్తః. యుక్తః మీన్స్ యోగీ ఇత్యర్థః. యోగీ, యోగా ఈజ్ ఎ పర్స్యూట్. సో స్పిరిచువల్ పర్స్యూట్, నాట్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ పర్స్యూట్స్ ఆర్ కాల్డ్ యోగా. సో సపోజ్ యూ ఆర్ పర్స్యూయింగ్ ఎ జాబ్, యూ కాంట్ జనరల్లీ వీ డోంట్ కాల్ ఇట్ యోగా. సో యూ పర్స్యూ ద స్పిరిచువల్ పర్స్యూట్. సో ఈవెన్ రిలీజియస్ పర్స్యూట్స్ వీ డోంట్ కాల్ యోగా. లైక్ సంబడీ ఈజ్ పర్స్యూయింగ్ హెవెన్, వీ డోంట్ కాల్ ఇట్ యోగా. యోగా ఈజ్ స్పిరిచువల్ పర్స్యూట్. Only when you are trying to establish a communion with Ishvara, a disinterested communion, that is yoga. In that sense, we use the word yoga. And a person who is a seeker of knowledge and who is well equipped to gain that knowledge, he is called yuktaha. And this word yuktaha is very much liked by Shri Krishna. He uses the word again and again. And here, he defines yuktaha in a given way. Yuktaha is defined in many, many ways. So, here in Gita itself. So, here, it is one interesting definition of yukta. A person becomes yukta, means an integrated person, as far as his spiritual pursuit is concerned, only when his understanding is this way. You see, the word yuktaha means you do not work at cross purposes. That is the yuktaha, an integrated lifestyle. Generally what we do, we want something and we work for something else. We work for the opposite. So lifestyle and the understanding, they do not match. There is a division, a gulf. That is a yuktaha. The one in which the lifestyle and knowledge, they go together. The life and light, they do not conflict. Such a person is yuktaha. But this yuktaha can be defined from various perspectives, because life has many facets, you know. So a person is yuktaha when he conducts himself in this area, in this fashion. Like that it is described in quite a few places. For example, there are desires and there is anger. So a yuktaha is one who doesn't succumb to these negative emotions. Kama krodhodbhavam vegam prakcharira vimokshanat. So, sodhum shaknoti sa yuktaha. So, like that there is a verse. So, in the context of desires and anger that comes out of desires, how a yukta looks like, that is the definition. So, in the context of karma, how a yukta looks like, or what are the characteristics of a yukta, an integrated person. You find a definition here. So, sayuktaha. Then, buddhiman manushyeshu. You see, we all have intellect. Human being is known for his capacity to know. So, whereas animals, etc., in animals, it is the life, the brute force, they call, that is the predominant factor. Not its intelligence or its intellect. In humans, it is not the brute force which is important. however a person, however great a sportsman he may be, still all said and done, a human being is recognized for his intelligence alone, intellect alone. So, buddhiman manushyeshu, he alone, this person who has this understanding, saha, he alone is the true intelligent person, truly wise person. So, buddhiman manushyeshu. Very big description really. Bhagavan has put three important epithets about this gentleman. Saha, he. Now, he is buddhiman manushyeshu, yuktaha kritsna karma krit. Big praising words. In fact, Bhagavan, when he pulls down a person also, he does that. In one place he says, aghayur indriya ramaha, mogham partha sajivati. In one half of a verse, there are three abusive words. Three words which put the person in a very bad light. Aghayuhu, indriya ramaha, mogham jivati. Whereas here, three epithets which glorify a given wise man, wise person. Buddhiman manushyeshu, yuktaha, kritsna karma krita. Who is he? Yaha, whosoever. Karmani akarma, akarmani karma cha pashyet. Pashyet means one who sees that vision. Seeing means vision. Not the normal seeing of names and forms. That is not the seeing here. So, yaf pashyati sapashyati, that kind of a usage also we come across Gita. One who sees this way, alone sees. Everybody else seems to be seeing, but they do not see anything. So, that is the meaning of the word pashyet. He alone sees. Means he is the wise person alone. He alone is the wise person. Because, normally, we do not know how to see. We only know to stare. That is all we do. We just stare at things. And by staring, you know that nama-rupa knowledge comes. Recognize. It is always a recognition. You never know anything freshly. You, a few things are known because mother told, father told, etc. And so we apply that knowledge to the world. That is what is called recognition. Recognition. You know, all perception is recognition only. All perception. This is flower. I perceive flower. You have not perceived anything really. You have applied your already existing knowledge, you have projected outside and thereby missed the reality. That is how it is. You should be knowing flower, then only you see flower. So what you have seen now? Whatever you have, so what is the freshly you have seen? Nothing. Right? So this is red color. Again, you are not seeing anything. You are just projecting the mind only. The red color must be known in the mind. Then only you see it. So what you know, you see. What you do not know, you do not see. That means, by looking around, what knowledge we are getting? Nothing. So this is tourism knowledge. It has its own value, but the reality you cannot get by staring. So in Gita, I am saying all this because in Gita we use the word pashyati or pashyet not to mean perception, not to mean recognition, to mean some inner wisdom which it sees the truth that is hidden. On the surface you see only namarupa, the truth is hidden. And so the inner wisdom that detects the truth, that alone is considered as pashyati. That is the word pashyati or pashyet. So much so, a jnani is called pashyaha. In Mundakopanishad, a jnani is called pashyaf pashyate. The pashyaha pashyate. Means what? A jnani knows. All others just stare. They do not see. So that word pashyati is a very potent word it is. One who sees it correctly, he is called pashyaha. And yah pashyati sa pashyati, all those usages. So pashyet is a similar word, it is same word really. This gentleman alone really sees. Everybody else just misses the truth because they are accustomed to see the surface, superficial thing alone. How? Karmane akarma, akarmane karmacha. In karma, a wise man, he is the wise man who sees akarma, non-action, in action. And action in non-action. Karma, akarma. So this is the statement. Here Shankara, he raises an objection. Nanu kimidam viruddham uchyate. What is it? You are talking in a very contradictory fashion. So one who sees action in non-action and non-action in action, how he can be a wise man? He must be a crazy person only. He must be at the best, he must be a very dull person. Viruddham it is, because in action you should see action, in non-action you should see non-action. What is this? Action in non-action and non-action in action. In exactly opposite thing, you know. It is like one thing in another, it's not even that. One thing in exactly the opposite thing. That is how, if the person sees, how that can be wisdom. Nanu katham idam viruddham uchyate, because you know, nahi karma akarma syat, akarma va karma. Karma cannot become akarma. Akarma cannot become karma. Therefore, when akarma is non-action, karma is action. Okay. So when akarma cannot become karma and karma cannot become akarma because they are mutually exclusive. And here comes a gentleman who sees akarma in karma and karma in akarma. How he can be wise man? He can only be termed as a person of contradictory approach. So, thing is one and he sees the opposite. So, that is not how wisdom is defined. Then, that is the Purvapaksha. That is the objection. Shankara says, no, not like that. Modha drushtehe lokasya. Akarma eva paramarthatasat karmavat avabhasate. I am just reciting Bhagavan Shankaracharya's vakyas. So, it is not that akarma becoming karma or karma becoming akarma. No such thing happens. Akarma is akarma only. Karma is karma only. But paramarthataha akarma eva. It is truly akarma and it continues to be akarma. But the human being is deluded. So much so, he sees karma in it. And so, the contradiction is not in the wise man's vision. The contradiction is in the wisdom, in the vision of the worldly person. Modha drushteha lokasya. And therefore, Sri Krishna, he points out the general understanding which is opposite, which is wrong, and then he corrects it, he flips it, so that the wise man's understanding and this understanding, they are now integrated. So, akarma eva paramarthataha. It is essentially akarma. But people misunderstood it to be karma. And that misunderstanding has to be corrected. And by the time you correct it, karmane akarma. Essentially akarma, mistaken to be karma. And so in that karma, which is essentially akarma but mistaken to be karma, now wise man, what he should see? He should see akarma only, and he sees that. Karma niya karma yavashyet. Okay. Then, tatha karma eva akarmavat. Here is karma. But for the jnani, for the deluded person, he takes it as akarma. And now he has labeled it as akarma. He has labeled it. It is like somebody says, I am sleeping. So, and somebody else said, I do not know how to speak. He says that. And somebody else says, there is no tongue in my mouth. So, even while saying, he is contradicting. Therefore, it is karma. It is action, but looks like non-action. And therefore, a human being or an ajnani, a deluded person, takes it as non-action and labels it non-action. But a wise man knows the truth. Because though it is labeled as non-action by an ignorant person, it is really action only. And therefore, wise man sees action. Therefore, tatra yatha bhutartha darshanamaha bhagavan. Because some people, they misinterpret the whole thing. How it is karma, but there is some mysterious akarma behind it. It is akarma, but there is some mysterious karma behind it. That's why jnani sees all those things that way. It is not like that. There is nothing mystery about it. Jnani cannot have a mysterious vision. Jnani is one who has the correct vision. Yatha bhutartha darshanam aha bhagavan. So a jnani's understanding is the correct understanding because he sees the thing in the correct way alone. But we used this language only from the point of view of loka drishti. People who call it, labeled it as akarma, but it is really karma only, label is wrong. Jnani sees through that label. Karmanya karmaya pasyeta akarmanicha karmayaha. Ato na viruddham. There is no virodha in it. Contradiction is not there. Now, you may say, how it can be? Because when every human being is looking at it in one way, now you come and say that the entire humanity has mistaken, and here rises one jnani and he sees the truth. How you can say that? Yeah, it is like that. Vedanta is like that. In Vedanta, we are interested in not correcting the topical mistakes or some simple mistakes. That is not the purpose of Vedanta. Vedanta's aim is to correct the universal mistakes alone. A thing which is wrongly understood by the entire humanity has to be corrected. That is the purpose of Vedanta. No, entire humanity is okay with their mistake. It is all right. It is up to the entire humanity whether to want to correct it or not. It is up to them. They have to decide whether they want to correct or not. But the Shastra points it out. You see, in India, some people say we are Biharis. Some people say we are Bengalis. They live in this illusion. For one generation, for second, for 10 generations, they live in that illusion. There is no Bihari, there is no Bengali. The whole thing is wrong. So, what is meant by Bihari? What is meant by Bengali? What do you mean by that? Suppose a person is working in Calcutta and a child is born. Is the child Bengali? Suppose they belong to Andhra Pradesh. Now what you will say? Is the child Bengali? So this kind of label, it is utterly meaningless. And generation after generation, they go by that label. That doesn't make it real. So you cannot go by public opinion. It's not a democracy or it's not electing a candidate. It is not voting business. So here reality situation it is. Even if one man sees the truth, and the entire humanity stands against him, that doesn't alter the situation. Like Galileo versus the entire Western Hemisphere, that doesn't alter the situation. Galileo is right. When he knew the truth, he alone was right. Everybody else was wrong, but still he is right. Therefore, the jnani is like that. In fact, the fundamental truths of life are all like that. For example, human being is a sinner. By nature, he is sinful. He is given to wrongdoing. He has to be corrected by police, by religious injunctions, by commandments. This is the general understanding. But the truth is, Atma is Asanga and Shuddha. Now, how to combine the two? So, the entire world thinks otherwise, the reality is otherwise. A human being takes himself to be a limited being. He is not the limited being. He is the infinite focused in the limited body. But this thing, it is so logical and so obvious, but it becomes impossible to realize this truth. So, this is how it is. And a human being is a Sachidananda. And he is afraid of death. and he is afraid of ajnana, ignorance, and he is in permanent search of ananda. So he wants to be redeemed, or salvation he wants. He is nitya mukta. Therefore, the human, the social outlook, etc., they are all wrong labels, and the Shastra corrects the label. So entire humanity labels it as karma, but in reality it is akarma. Entire humanity labels it as akarma, in reality it is karma. So it is like the clouds move, the moon appears to move. And Shankara gave the example of a boat moving in the water, and a person who is sitting in the boat, he looks at the shore. It looks as if he is sitting static, and the trees, etc., are moving in the opposite direction. When you sit in the train, especially when this train is in the station, I mean in India it happens, because where many trains are there. So I am sitting in the train. I look through the window. I do not know whether I am moving or not. Then I look at the other window. Now I know whether I am moving or not. Because when the other train is moving, that appears static, not moving, and I appear to be moving. All kinds of confusions are possible. So, similarly, karmane akarma yav pashyet. So, when there is action, when there is activity, when there is movement, and when there is activity, where is this activity? You see, Shankara says, dehadyashrayam karma atmani adhyaropya aham karta mama etat karma. This is the illusion. So, there is movement. You see, the movement is in the clouds. We impute it to the moon by mistake, by association, by mistake. Association can cause mistake. When the mistake is a logical mistake, we call it a swapadhika bhranti. There is an upadhi, some association which causes the mistake. Whereas sometimes there is no association, yet there is mistake. So anyway, so when the clouds are moving, the movement is imputed to the moon. Similarly here also, there is action. Now this action is imputed to the Atma. So this action karma, it has its locus in the body, dehadyashrayam karma. The action is in the body, deha, or adi shabdena. So the action could be in the sense organs, in the mind. So to that is the dehadi. In the body there is movement, in the mind there is movement. Now the point is, are you the mind or are you the ego which takes itself to be? The ego always identifies with the body and mind. Ego has no independent status. Ego is in identification with body and mind. Ego is a reflex, and it cannot stand on itself, alone itself. Therefore, it needs a locus, and the locus is body and mind. Sometimes both, sometimes one of them, whatever. Therefore, you can include the ego also. Now, what are you? What am I? So, that is the question. So, by wrongly identifying with the body and the mind, we take upon all the activities of the body and the mind as my activities. So, aham karta mama etat karma. I am the doer, and this is my action. This is how we take. Now, here the question is like this. There is so much activity going on. Say, for example, you take the example of food. So, food is there in the plate. I am eating it. Okay. So, that is one action. Now, the food, you are conscious of the food only as long as it is on the tongue. Once it crosses that threshold and goes down the throat, then you are no more conscious of the food. You do not know whether food is there or not. I mean, you are overall conscious of hunger and lack of it, but you are not conscious of the food, etc., you know.
So when you see the see a laddu or a pizza, etc., you are conscious of it, and while it is on the tongue also, to some extent you are conscious, and then you are no more conscious of it. And then the real activity starts at that moment, from then onwards. So wherever the mind is conscious of an activity, it has to be conscious of that activity, and also it has to take it upon itself as the karta, and it has to look upon that activity as my activity. I am the doer. That kind of identification also should come. Then you are the karta to that activity, with reference to that activity. And for all other activities, you are not the karta. So what happened? The definition of karma, this is my karma, and I am the doer. So this notion has its basis only in the identification with the body and mind. So body-mind identification, and the mind is conscious of that activity, and having become conscious of that activity, mind projects this sense of doership, I am the doer, that notion also is added, then it becomes karma. The rest of it, you are just ignorant of the whole mechanism. So this way, the entire understanding of karma is wrong. I tell you how. Suppose water is flowing. Now, when the water is flowing, the sun has reflected in that flowing water. Now there is the image of the sun, water is flowing. Now the image of the sun thinks that because of me, this water is flowing. Is it correct? No. It is not because of the image of the sun that the water is flowing. In fact, the image is there because of the sun, the water is there because of the sun, and the water is also flowing because of the sun. It is the sun's energy which is responsible for the flowing of water. Right? Therefore, the image of the sun, in which way, if it is an enlightened image, it will say, I am here because of the sun, I am an image of the sun, I am not real by myself, I am real only through, only as the sun I am real, I am not real as myself. And then this body, etc., this water is not because of me, it is not flowing because of me, it is not existing because of me. Myself, this flow, this water, this energy, everything is existing because of this sun. That should be the correct understanding. Now, you see, when you have a pot and a water in it, some water in it, and put it in the sun, you can see the image of the sun in the pot. Now, you can take the metaphor that way. The pot is the physical body, the water is the subtle body. The image of the sun in that water of the pot, you cannot have water without pot, you know, in that shape. So that image of the sun is the ego, and the sun is there. Right? Now, that is the comparison. Now, that image, which is the ego, is it real? You think of it. That image appears, obviously it appears. And is it real? No. There is nothing like image or any such thing there. It is purely the trick of senses. The sunlight is reflected, that's all. The sunlight falls and it focuses in the water and it is reflected. That is all that is happening. There is no image or any such thing. Right? Image is a trick of the senses. There is no image. There is the sunlight which is reflected, and so that is all. Similarly, here also, there is a physical body. There is life, and by the glory of the life there is movement. And now, is there an ego at all? There is no ego. Why there is life? Because the universal life is focusing here, that's why there is life. How do you know universal life is focusing? For example, you take the basic characteristics of life, like inhalation, exhalation. That is the basic grass manifestation of life, one important manifestation of life. Now this inhalation, exhalation, is it a unique or characteristic of this body, or is it the universal vayu which is reflected in this body, which is the truth? Definitely, the inhalation, exhalation,
It is the universal power which is reflected in this body. The life itself is the universal power that is reflected in this body. And the body is created by the nature around. The body is a food body, you know. Every iota of it is a product of the nature around. Therefore, there is nature, there is life. What about body? Body is also part of the nature. What about life? Life is part of the universal life. Now, what is this ego? So, this ego, it seems to be there only as long as you do not investigate it, you do not question it. It seems to be there. It is really not there. It appears only as long as you do not question it. Once you question it, you don't ask me who will question. Ego has to question itself. Because you cannot deviate the whole subject into some semantics and end up keeping the ego intact. That is not the idea. So the ego alone has to question itself. That is, introspection means what? Who has to, introspection is there. Who has to do introspection? You. About whom you have to do introspection? If you do inspection about somebody else, will it become introspection? No. Therefore, the one level of the mind is ego. Another level of the mind has to question this level of the mind. It is all mind only. Within the mind you have various levels. Ego is one level. You can call it a higher level or you can call it a deeper level, whichever name you give to it. Generally in Vedanta, whatever we call it higher, it is also called deeper. Higher level of consciousness is always deeper level of consciousness. So just language, you know, you have to use some word. It depends upon the context or the approach. Therefore, you don't ask who has to question. You start questioning. Is this ego valid? So there are so many activities. When you open the eyes and when you close the eyes, are you the karta? No. When you inhale and exhale, are you the karta? No. When the food is digested, are you the karta? No. I gave the example of flow of water because there is flow of blood in this body. Are you the karta for the flow of the blood, that ego, this small little ego, is it the karta for the flow of the blood? No. Is it the karta for the pumping of the heart? No. Is it the karta for the liver functions? No. Then, but it is the karta for fighting with somebody or for doing something else. It is the karta. How? You see, while you are saying aham karta mama etat karma, you are caught in the bondage of the mind. That means in the bondage of a strong notion, and thereby you declare yourself to be karta. Whereas a jnani knows that there is no karta. There is life, there is body, there is life. And this body is a part of the whole. From the point of view of the part, see, a part of the whole is always a part only from the point of view of the part. So, from the whole point of view, there will be no parts, only whole will be there. So, anyway, you take a body is there. It is a product of the nature. There is life. Why there is life here? Because there is life everywhere. That's why life is here, right? Why one redwood is standing? Because all other redwoods are standing, therefore this one is standing. We live in unity. We do not live in isolation, except in our thinking. Therefore, I live, there is life here because there is life everywhere. And there is Chaitanyam consciousness here because there is Chaitanya everywhere. There are Prithvi, Aptejo, Vayu, Akasha here because they are everywhere. But the reflex called ego rises and it takes the authorship, etc., for certain actions upon itself. For certain actions. Now, either it is the author of all actions, or it is the author of no actions. How it can be the author of certain actions? How it can be? So I tell you how. I am speaking. There is a speech. There is a speech. That is the truth. Why there is a speech? Because I am speaking. Wrong. Why there is a speech? Because the organ of speech is there. And who put the organ of speech there? Not I. Not the ego. The organ of speech is there here because the life is manifesting here. Okay. Then the speech has some content in it. Some knowledge is there behind that speech. You know, I am reading something and saying something. So, that knowledge, who is the author of that knowledge? Definitely not I. If I am the author of that knowledge, then who is Lord Shri Krishna? Who is the teacher? Who is the guru? And who is the... Who are all these things? Where do they fit in this scheme? So, I am not the author of that knowledge. Nor even the locus of that knowledge. The knowledge is there for some other reason. For the universal reasons. There is a social society. Because the birth is as a human being, there is a mind which is capable of gaining knowledge. There are teachers. There are Mahatmas. There is Gita in the flow of history, etc. Therefore, all these circumstances have favorably worked together to see that there is some knowledge here. Therefore, I am not the author of the knowledge. I am not the author of the organ of speech. Then what for I am author? You know what for I am author? I am author for the notion that I speak. That is the author I am. Suppose I decide in my wisdom to get rid of that notion. Then karmani akarma yapashyet. So people ask willpower versus destiny. Okay, you can discuss for eons you can discuss willpower over destiny, which is which, how much percentage is how much, etc. From one standpoint you can do all that. From another standpoint, karmani akarma yapashyet. A jnani has surrendered his willpower to Ishvara long back. So, can you have karma without willpower? See, karma is a technical word. Chalanam, karma. They are two different things. Chalanam is movement. Karma is action. There is a big difference. So, Shankara gives one example. One leaf falls below from the tree. That is chalanam. It is not action. You don't call it action. It is chalanam. Whereas you do something and it is action. Why? What is the difference? The difference is between chalanam and karma, there in that kind of a chalanam which has no karta behind it, it remains a chalanam. A chalanam which has a karta to appropriate it. Can I use the word appropriate? Yeah. A karta comes and appropriates it. I have done it. Shankara, aham karta mama etat karma. That is the karta. When a karta comes and appropriates the chalanam, now that chalanam becomes a karma. Therefore, chalanam, movement, plus the notion of doership is equal to action. That's why when the river flows, you do not call it action. When the person takes a cup of water from the river, he says it is action. So, that action, there is chalanam in the universe. Why there is movement in the universe? Because the universe is manifestation of Ishvara's Maya Shakti, the power of creation. That Maya Shakti, that is, Shakti means there is movement. So, Ishvara is there, that means Ishvara's Maya Shakti is there, therefore there is movement. Therefore, who is the author of this movement? Ishvara is the author. Then it is chalanam only. Because Ishvara doesn't claim, I am the author. Therefore, it is chalanam. There is universe, which means to say there is movement. Because universe means movement. So, Ishvara is the author. That is what a bhakta says, not Ishvara. Ishvara says, I am not the mover. It moves, I am not the mover. That is what Ishvara says. Therefore, it remains as a movement, as chalanam. But an ajnani, a jiva comes and he says, aham karta mama etat karma. And therefore, it is now called karma. And so it is no more chalanam, it is karma. And this karma, karmane akarma yav pashyet. So there is a karma only as long as there is a karta. There is a karta only as long as there is a notion of doership. There is a notion of doership only as long as there is ignorance. And a jnani has no ignorance, pashyati. Therefore, the notion of doership is not there. Therefore, karma is not there. Chalanam may be there. Karmane akarma yav pashyet. You see, in Vedanta, I will give you a small caution. Here we define the overall vision. We do not try to define catalog and characterize small actions. Suppose I put this flower from here to here. According to Vedanta, did I do this or did I not do this? Once I took a class of this karta. I told you are not the karta, atma is not karta, so there is no kartrutvam, etc. Then I went to the room. One gentleman asked me, not here, somewhere else. So a gentleman asked me, now, I attended your class and I came from the class to your room, I am talking. Now, am I not doing all these things? What is it that you teach, you explain to me? That is what he asked me. So, you see, that way you take a vision and try to apply without really understanding the vision, you try to apply to an immediate topical situation and you want the vision to be explained based on this, it is not possible. Therefore, don't try to apply it immediately. Who is the karta? If I am not sitting the class, who else is sitting? My grandfather is sitting or what? So, don't apply it like that. So, you understand it, overall vision. Then the smaller things can get neutralized automatically. In fact, wherever you think you have doership, there is no doership on your part. That is the truth. Even for small things also the truth applies. But don't start it there. Because that becomes a contradiction. So you will not be able to resolve that contradiction. Try to understand the vision. You try to understand the vision in the bigger picture. First become conscious of the bigger picture. Then the smaller picture, the smaller things, they will fall in place. This is how I personally look at it. Therefore, there is movement in the universe. Is there a karta? That is the question. A person, an ignorant person feels, yes, there is a karta and I am that karta. Whereas a jnani knows better. There is no karta. There is no, this ego, this image in the water, it is not making the water to flow. It is the sun. Sun means not something sitting there. Sun means all pervading light and energy. That is the sun. So that sun alone makes the water flow. That sun alone makes this ego, this image exist. Therefore, everything belongs to that sun only. So here there is an ego because the universal power is reflecting here. There is mind, there are organs of action, there are sense organs, there is a physical body, there is life in it, because the universal power is manifesting there all through. That is the fact of situation. Now, we come out with our ego and say, I do this, I have done that, I am doing this and I will do that. So, in some place Sri Krishna, he acts it out with some derision. So, etat karma krutavan, aham karishyami, I have done this, I am going to do this. The person will be talking like this. Even while he is talking, the Lord Yama, he is waiting to throw his hook. So, like his noose, that is how it is presented. Therefore, a jnani knows that there is no karma, karmani akarma yav pashyet. To put it bluntly, even when I am speaking, I know, the word I use in a way to explain it. I don't mean the person. So even while I am speaking, I know that there is only speech. There is no speaker. So the mic doesn't say, I am the speaker. this is a mic, it doesn't say I am the speaker. If this is the mic, which is not the speaker, then what is this? It is the mic which conveys the sound through it, right? It is not the speaker. This, what is this? Same. What is the mind? Same. That mind is the conduit for a knowledge which is universal to pass through. And that knowledge passes through the mind, it passes through the mouth, and it comes as a sound and passes through the mic, and it enters the ears, and people understand it. That is how it is. A jnani looks at it like that. There is only teaching, there is no teacher. Karmani akarma yav pashyet. Akarmani cha karma yaha. You see, a person says, aham tushnim bhavame. Shankara, let me just, Shankara puts it in abhinaya, we call it. Abhinaya is a pramanam. You see, just like pratyaksha, anumana, etc. are pramana, means of knowledge. Abhinaya, abhinaya means acting it out. So, action, abhinaya, bharatanatya shastra karta, bharata, he puts abhinaya as an important pramana. So, natya people, dance people, for them it is a pramana, it is, means of knowledge. Because they convey a message through abhinaya, without opening mouth. So, in Shankara also he acts out, he shows abhinayena vakti, he shows abhinaya. What is the abhinaya? Aham tushnim bhavami, yena aham nirayasaha akarma sukhi syam. That is the abhinaya. He says, weekend it is, I do not do any work, and all the striving for doing this or that, it comes to an end. Ayasa. Ayasa is striving. So that is over for me. Now there is no activity for me. I am comfortable. Sukhi syam. That means, by not acting, there is an action in day-to-day life, and by stopping that action, by withdrawing from that action, you want to gain rest. You are doing a mistake. You will not be able to do that. Because even while you are saying that, nivritti means withdrawal from action. Behind that withdrawal, is there the sense of doership or not? It is there. The sense of doership is there. So, as long as the sense of doership persists, whether you act in a particular way or not, it is going to be karma only. Because tushnim asanam, without doing any karma, I sit quietly. Even that is also a karma. Not because, you can say how it can be a karma, there is no movement. No, it is not the movement which defines the karma. It is the sense of doership which defines the karma. There may be movement, yet it is not karma. There is no movement, apparently, yet it is karma. Because you take yourself to be the author of non-action. So, as long as that sense of doership or authorship is there, that is karma. Therefore, so Shankara says, karya, he puts it very technically, so that the verse falls in place. Karya karanashraya vyaparaha tatkurutancha sukhitvam atmane adhyaropya. When you say, I am doing the action, atma is not involved in that action as the doer. When you say, I am withdrawing from the action, atma is not the one who withdraws. Therefore, once again, when you say aham karta, you have imputed the movement that is there in the body, etc., onto atma and made a statement which is wrong. When you say aham na karta, then also the lack of movement in the body, that you have imputed again to the atma, and you are making the statement aham na karta. Either way, it is wrong. So, therefore, atma has no doership. Therefore, what we have to do? We have to renounce the sense of doership. And there is no doership in atma. This is like renouncing non-existing horns. So, manushya shrunga, the human being has horns.
Horns means his arrogance alone is presented as horns. So there are no horns, and I have to renounce non-existing horns. That means the notion that I have horns should be overcome. That's all. Horns, this has to be substituted with the word kartrutvam. There is no kartrutvam in Atma. But we have the notion of kartrutvam. I have done this, I am doing this, I will do this, like that. That notion of kartrutvam should be overcome. This does not mean that you should not use a particular language. This kind of doubt also can come. Suppose somebody comes and asks, who has put this table here? Then somebody gets up and says, everybody feels that I have put the table there. In fact, this body has put the table there, but I am not the karta. You need not answer like that. Nor you can keep quiet. You better get up and say, I have put it there, so that the issue is clear. Therefore, you need not make that kind of a statement. I tell you, one who knows, he doesn't say. One who knows, he doesn't say. Nobody says, aham akarta, aham akarta, aham akarta, like that nobody says. Like anybody, is anybody saying, aham manushyaha, aham manushyaha, like that nobody says, unless it is challenged. So nobody says that. So we understand it and keep quiet. But if an occasion arises, you have to say the right thing, that I have put it there. You have to say that. Or you have to say, though I am doing it, or I am speaking, I am not the real author, Ishvara is the real author. If you have to say that according to the context, you may end up saying that. Whatever is appropriate to say, we say. But we keep the vision intact. That is the idea. So buddhiman manushyeshu. So this person, the essence of it is, this person, he knows that karma is not, it is not absolute. All movement is not karma. Only that movement which is associated with the sense of doership is karma. And the sense of doership is wrong. It is based on ignorance. There is nothing like sense of doership. There is nothing like ego. It is a non-existent phantom entity. And so we know that. The moment you know it, you come out of it. It is like fear or any other thing. The moment you know it is false, it is gone. So the moment, similarly, that same thing applies to ego also. You know, ego is mainly kartru bhoktru. So once that point is clearly understood, that will slowly dilute. And the person will have a great freedom, the real freedom. I am the doer. It is a very big burden. It is a crown of thorns, really. I am the doer. It is like keeping a crown of thorns on the head. So you will be attracting the phalam all the time. So like you keep a crown of thorns, the thorns will be pressing and causing pain all the time. So any notion that I have done this, it is a burden. And there is no freedom in that. It is Ishvara's glory that this thing is done. You say that, you feel it, you say that, you understand it, and you walk away from the scene of action. Don't stand there to get laurels and all that. There is freedom in it. That is the glorious freedom. That freedom is known only to a wise man, sabuddhiman manushyeshu. And so, especially when it comes to life situations, I have earned the bread for the family. I brought him up. I made him a doctor. I made him an engineer. These are all statements which are made by people. They are wrong A to Z. But how they are wrong, I have done it. That question, if anybody is putting, then I can only say, he has to understand further. Nobody is going to become karta or any such thing. Kartrutvam is wrong. There is a lot more to explain. I have tried to put it in some haphazard way. It can be further organized way. It can be explained. We will see. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.